Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk coming at tonight on this Hump Day Wednesday. Got a lot to talk about going into this weekend's big three title fight event over at Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. I'm kind of excited about this one, man. You know, normally big cards like this are normally reserved for International Fight Week or Madison Square Garden, but we actually get it in July in Fight Island, the inaugural event in Fight Island. What's up, Keys, man? What's going on, bro?
So I hadn't realized that until now that I think this card would have been the International Fight Week card, which technically, if you look at the structure of the card and like the triple header that's on the card, it definitely exceeds the bill for what is usually a International Fight Week card. I think the last one we had Jones and Santos, and then we had Holly Holm and Nunes, I think, was the last fight week. I might be a bit off with that, but I know that is usually the style, and I think this one fits the bill. But of course, all things considered, you know, it couldn't be done really that way this year. But the card itself definitely lives up to the theme of what they like to do for Fight Week, and it's a stacked card. I'm feeling really good about it. I'm really excited. You know, my homie's excited. We're gonna watch it on Saturday. I pretty much have, you know, that whole block of time booked off for Saturday. As far as anybody knows, I got plans. Keys is busy. Don't call me. Don't call my phone on Saturday. Man is not around. The UFC is on all day. You know, I may or may not set off from Saturday morning for the UFC event. That's usually how I like to do it for these big cards. These type of ones that get me really excited like this. A lot of high stakes cards, and you just got to kick it off from first thing in the morning. So I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling great.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet for the fight, whether I want to take a chance to go watch it somewhere or whether I'm watching here. Really haven't figured that part out yet, but I'm definitely going to be watching it. Don't know how yet, don't know where yet, but that'll get figured out probably by Friday, you know, by Friday evening, early Saturday afternoon. So I'm definitely going to watch the fights. Definitely interested in everything that's going on this weekend. Like I said, we got a stacked card. One of my favorite fighters returning this weekend, Rose Namajunas, which I'm definitely excited to see. And I want to see this guy that Uzdemir is fighting, Prochaska. I think he was the champion over at another organization, and he decided to come join the big league. So looking for that fight. So, man, it should be a good time. Actually, he was the champion at Rising. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you know what? I knew he was a champion in another organization. I just couldn't put my finger on where. And I didn't think it was Rising. I thought it was like, one of these like independent circuits. I thought it was something like that. You know, one of these state organization, MMA organizations, maybe a bit less known organization, but it's definitely big. I mean, Ryzen has, if you just look at the history in the past, you know, 3 years, just even looking at the past 3 years, there's been some crossover. Well, not really crossover, but there's been some, you know, my guy will fight your guy, you know, cross promotional fights where Ryzen has fought. I want to say Ryzen and Bellator have had a couple cross-promotion fights where and Ryzen's fighters have come out on top in a big way. in a number of those fights, which has led me to be a bit more understanding of the level of competition or the level of talent. It was only one?
I thought that was one because the guy from one, he was the bantamweight champion in one and then came to Bellator and won the bantamweight championship also? I can't remember. I thought it was one, but you could be right about Ryzen, you know. And I wish the UFC did more of that, man, the more of the cross-promotions.
Yeah.
I think if you did more of the cross-promotions, it won't just help your product. It'll help other organizations get a little bit of shine, too. So, but, you know, the UFC, you know, they really don't believe in that. They got the cream of the crop fighters. So, because I would love to see Demetrius Johnson come back and fight in the UFC, maybe even Eddie Alvarez. So, but we'll see what happens, man. But, yeah, it might have been Ryzen. I'm going to try to look that up. But go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, so, you know, I might have been wrong, but, you know, I thought either way that just Ryzen's fighters have looked really good, you know, in the past couple of years. And it'll be interesting to see because, you know, they put Ozdemir, who's like, you know, one of the top, you know, he's at least top 10 in the light heavyweight. And I'm pretty sure it's the last Fight Pass prelims. It's the last Fight Pass prelim. It's not the main event of the prelims going into the main card. It's the main event of the two or three fights they have on Fight Pass. I'm not actually sure if it's on Fight Pass for this event or if it's on ESPN Plus or whatever. But I know it's the top of that first card before the prelims. So that was interesting how they structured that. But I know there's always a plan, and it's going to be – that's an interesting fight. I always like the champion versus champion fights. And I think it's definitely a big push for Ozdemir. You know, it definitely shines a light on him, and it definitely shines a light on this new coming guy. I don't know his name, but it definitely it's a good push for both guys, and I think it'll be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, they really didn't do my man any favors. They put him in there against one of the top guys. So we'll find out early whether or not he the real deal or not. You know, normally the UFC normally does that though. If you come over from another organization, they normally put you in with a top guy. I don't know why they do that, but they normally do because when Askren came over, his first fight was against Robbie Lawler. When Benson Henderson came over, I want to say his first fight was against I can't remember who it was. I want to say it may have been Cowboy Cerrone, but I can't remember. But normally, when you come over from another organization and you got a lot of hype, the UFC don't do you any favors, so we'll find out early about this guy. So hopefully he's as good as advertised. But we'll see on Saturday. Well, actually, we got a lot of stuff that can happen between now and Saturday because you still got to weigh-ins Friday. I still think the fighters got to take – I know they had to take a test prior to leaving for Abu Dhabi. Then they're going to take a test once they get to Abu Dhabi. Then they're going to take another test, I want to say right after the fight, something like that. I don't understand taking a test after the fight, whereas I think you should probably take a test right before the fight. But I think that's how it's going down. They'll take one prior to leaving, one when they get there, and one after the fight.
It's good to see them doing so much testing because, you know, especially when they had, I think his name is Mike Brown, I'm not sure. I might have got his name wrong, but I know one of Masvidal's coaches tested. Yeah, I know one of Masvidal's coaches tested positive, and of course Gilbert Burns tested positive. You know, before we got here. So, you know, I'm glad that I'm glad they're being thorough. You know, I did see, I also saw a video of my girl Amanda Ribas. Amanda Ribas, she posted a video of her getting one of her tests. It looked like in her hotel room. You know, that was cool. That was cool to see that. So I'm glad. You know, y'all know I'm a fan of her. I brought her up, you know, numerous times on this show. I did an article about her, you know, for the Scrap a while back too, and that was when she had just came back off her suspension. So that's another fight that I'm definitely excited for. I'm gonna keep my eye on Amanda Ribas fighting Paige VanZant, so I'm definitely gonna stand for that one. And I'm just glad that they're doing a lot of testing. Put your foot forward.
Yeah, actually, you was right. It was Bellator and Rising because Ayuji Horiguchi, he had went in there and he took the belt from the Bellator champion, which I think was Darren Caldwell at the time. And then they was gonna do another fight with Horiguchi towards ACL, so they had to postpone that one. So yeah, man, yeah, it was Rising and Bellator. I thought it was one for some strange reason. I don't know why, but maybe because I was thinking about Demetrius Johnson. So,
well, I mean, one's been active lately, too. One's made a lot of moves recently, too, so I can see how you would have got that mixed up. But but I do have a question. I do have... Yeah, go ahead.
I said, I think one announced maybe 2 weeks ago their return event with no fans. And I think they also have a TV deal with TNT or TBS. So I don't know how that's really going to work, but they announced they return back to the fight game too.
That's good to see that. That's good to see that. I have a question for you, though. And
what's up?
This is, it might be a little early in the show to ask it, but I'm going to just jump out the window and just ask it because we can always circle back. You know, y'all know we got to do our predictions, so we're going to circle back to this fight later, but I just want to ask you this question separately from it first. You know, I've been at work this week, and I've been thinking about it a little bit, and, you know, I've just been thinking about it, and I thought to myself, what do you think? Is this Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal fight the biggest fight that the UFC can make right now? Yes or no? And did they really luck out with this fight kind of sliding into the picture kind of last minute? Well, actually, definitely last minute because it's pretty much on a week. It pretty much got signed a week before the event, so it's definitely last minute. But is this the biggest fight the UFC can make right now across all divisions? And did they really luck out this fight kind of falling into place the way it did?
Actually, I think the biggest fight they can make right now will be John Jones versus Francis Ngannou. I think that's the biggest fight they can make. But being that, you know, that fight won't get made, I think anytime that you have a guy that's on such an upswing like Masvidal fighting for the belt, then basically you can say this is the biggest fight that they can make right now, because you have to look at Conor says he's retired, who's only one of their biggest draws. John Jones is pissed off with the company. We're going to get Cormier versus Stipe down the line. And basically, you just have Poirier fight Hooker. So basically, you have to look at where they at. Where they at right now, this is the biggest fight they can make right now. And me personally, it's a shame that it took Gilbert Burns to get COVID for them to renegotiate Masvidal's contract. So basically, he got lucky that Gilbert Burns got sick and the UFC was in a tough spot, because basically they wanted to have three championship fights. And they knew, I think they kind of sort of knew Masvidal had been training because he's one of Poirier's training partners who just fought, what, last week, 2 weekends ago. So they actually got lucky. But my thing with Masvidal is you sat there and griped about your pay, but then you go sign a 10-fight deal. That's just like, I'm like, bro, you crying about your pay, but you signed a 10-fight deal. If you were smart, you would have signed a 5-fight deal to equally the same money. That way you're not locked in as long as you are, and you're going to get basically the same amount of money. But I guess he felt like he was at a place of power when negotiating with the UFC. And like you said, the UFC got lucky, man. They got lucky. And he was willing to take the fight on a week's notice. And when we get into our predictions, that sways some of our thoughts about that. We'll talk about that then. But the UFC was put in a tight spot, and you can say he won. Would John Jones do the same thing? The UFC getting a top spot, and then they renegotiate his contract? We don't know.
I mean, because one thought that I had to myself during this week and with what we've seen in the past three, four, five days, you know, with the UFC, like you were saying, renegotiating a contract from Masvidal, and he said that, I think he was on an interview with Ariel Helwani, and he told him that he said, now this is not exactly it, you know, maybe a few words off, but Masvidal more or less said, he said, I didn't get, because he asked him about how negotiations went, how they got him into this fight, and Masvidal said, he said, I didn't get exactly what I wanted, but I got very close to it. He said, I got very close to it. So what that tells me is, if that is truthful, which I tend to believe people before I tend to believe they're lying. So given that I believe him, I'm going to think to myself that the UFC made him a better offer, or maybe they made him, you know, an offer slightly above what they were offering before, or they just blew that number out of the water and they more than doubled it for whatever they offered him, or maybe they tripled it. I don't know what, I forget. I want to say they were trying to offer him like 200,000 or 250,000 or something like that. I might be off with the number, but it wasn't something high. It was a relatively low number for a title fight, especially for somebody who you just had fight Nate Diaz for. I think he made at least $1 million to fight Nate Diaz. I want to say, I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. I want to say he made at least $1 million to fight Nate Diaz for, I mean, they call it a BMF title, but we all know that's not really a real belt. So technically, was it a title fight? No. It was kind of like a gimmick, and it was just a regular fight, and he fought. So to offer him that, but then he made more to fight Nate Diaz, to me, that just doesn't even make any sense. So I can understand why he took a step back and said, hold on, you're not going to have me fight this guy for this much money and then come and have me fight the undisputed champion for less money. So I'm going to come over and fight the undisputed champion, who is realistically, if we're being honest, a much more dangerous guy than Nate Diaz. Usman's a much better fighter than Nate Diaz. This is not a debate. If you want to come on the show and debate with me over Nate Diaz being a better fighter, I welcome it. But you are wrong. In the grand scheme of it, you will be wrong. Can't tell me that fight is worth more money than the Usman fight. Regardless of status, regardless of Nate Diaz, you could say he's a bigger star or whatever the case. I understand, and I can see that that's a factor, but you can't tell me that you could fight and give somebody less than half the money or really less money, period. It kind of seems a little bit funky to me for the undisputed title in a really dangerous fight versus Usman's undefeated in the UFC. He's dominated pretty much everybody. I mean, he's pretty much dominated everybody he fought. I mean, Woodley's one of my favorite guys, and look how he fought Woodley. He dominated Woodley. You know, that fight broke my heart. Y'all know I love Woodley, but look how he beat Woodley. Like that he dominated, and that's the way that Usman has been doing guys in the UFC. I mean, he's a very dominant fighter. So this week I really thought it to myself, and I said, wow, I'm actually the way that Masvidal played off this situation has made me more of a fan of his. And that's not to say that I really wasn't even a fan before. I've never really been a fan of Masvidal, you know, even leading back to when he fought Cowboy. I'm pretty sure he fought Cowboy in Denver. Lee, I think you said you were at that fight. But
leading back to when
he fought Cowboy. Yeah, I remember you said that. Even leading back to when he fought Cowboy, which was kind of like a bit into his earlier days when he used to have short hair before he really grew out the hair. I wasn't even really a fan of him then at that time. You know, back in the days he fought, it wasn't that long ago, but, you know, he fought Damian Maia. I wasn't really a fan of him then. So, and I really haven't been a fan of him lately, especially with, you know, some of the moves he's made. We won't go deeply into it, but that just the way that he's played off this situation and jumped in on a week's notice to fight such a dangerous guy. I respected his stance to not take less than what he believes that he was worth, because that principle in life is really big to me. And he respected himself enough, and he valued himself enough at a higher value than what he was being offered. And he wasn't going to settle for less and take what the man offers and say, okay, I'm going to take that because you're the boss and that's all I can get. So I already respect him more, and I became more of a fan just off of that, because I feel like that was a man's move, what he did. And then at the same time, he came in on week's notice to fight the undisputed champion and Kamaru Usman, a very dangerous guy. So that too shows me, okay, you got to be a game fighter to do that. You got to be a game fighter. You know, there's other guys that they said they were going to step in, and we laughed at that. You know, we laughed at that because we thought, you know, he's just doing this for bravado. You know, he's just doing this for bravado. He's doing it just for his fan base, you know, just to make a look on the UFC. But he's not really going to fight, though. He's not really going to fight, though. But Masvidal proved a lot of people wrong. You know, he came out, he signed the contract, and he's going to be there Saturday in the Octagon, you know, fighting for the title. So, you know, this alone made me, you know, that was a crazy chess move, and it made me gain some respect for him and actually possibly made me a fan, as where I was definitely not a fan of his before. So I just had to get that off right there.
I think I am more – I think I'm falling more out of love with the UFC right now. Not with the fighters, but with the organization of the UFC. It's like, why are you guys so afraid to pay your fighters? Your fighters are not asking for boxing money. I can understand if a fighter was asking for boxing money. That would be – to me, out of, you know, that'd be out of line. Basically, I would think that fighter was crazy. But for guys and girls to make under $50,000 a fight, that's just ludicrous to me. I think walking into the Octagon, your pay should never be below $200,000. That's just me. Because the fighters have to pay their coaches, the fighters have to pay their training partners, the fighters basically pay for everything leading up to the fight. So why not reimburse them in a way that they're not fighting to pay bills? Have them fighting for a livelihood. And I guess I'm going to have to look up what Masvidal fight purse is going to be for Saturday to see whether or not, you know, he really is making money, because I guess that was his biggest gripe. But, you know, we could talk about that forever and a day, because I think, man, you have talked about it before. that, you know, that the UFC doesn't fairly compensate their assets. But, you know, I wanted to ask you this, though. I know you've probably seen the videos and the pictures of the setup at Fight Island. I know we tried to get into it at the end of our last show, but we kind of like ran out of time. What are your impressions of Fight Island?
So Dana White posted a video, and he kind of went through. They had like a side. They had like an aerial view, and they drove through. They did like a walkthrough of all the different areas of Fight Island, and I was actually pretty amazed by it. I was really impressed with what they were able to do. They have you know, each different area. You know, everything has its own. You got the hotel, you know, is over inside A. Then you got, like, you know, the training facility is over inside B. Then, you know, you got the arena over, you know, inside C. And then, you know, this place is over side D, E. And, you know, I'm really impressed with what they were able to do. They put it together in a relatively short time, if you ask me. And I feel like it by the looks of it, you know, and what Dana White has said about it, it definitely looks like it's living up to the things that he has said about it. And it's living up to the scale that he said it was going to be on. And like I said, he put it together in a relatively short time. You know, once all this happened, he turned around and said, you know, we're doing Fight Island. We're going to find a place. You know, I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm going to find a place. It's definitely going to happen. You know, they were saying somewhere in the world for a while, but they knew that, you know, he said, I definitely have a place. And you know, we're going to get working on it. With construction is ongoing. And we're gonna build Fight Island. It's gonna have, you know, its own fighter hotel. We're gonna put, you know, we're putting buildings up here, and you're gonna have an octagon. And I don't know if you know, if it's outside or inside, because, you know, one picture was showing the octagon outside, and it looks really cool. It has that island feel to it, and has that look of which I think a lot of us were expecting, but. I'm not sure if that's, you know, the official, or if that's, you know, if that's what the fighter's going to be fighting in on Saturday, or if that's just like a, you know, a sparring, you know, a separate octagon, you know, for the fighters to spar with their coaches or you know, what have you. So it looks cool. You know, I'm interested to see, you know, what we're viewing on Saturday. That's for sure. Definitely interested. Hopefully they could go through, you know, in the, like, the pre commentary and promotion that leads into, or maybe even between the fights, and just show us some of those views again, and walk through Fight Island. I would like that to be a main theme of this card when you watch it, for the entertainment aspect. And plus, I just want to see it. Now, I'm just interested to see it, and because we've been hearing about it for these, you know, past couple of months during this pandemic, which is still ongoing, and it's and it would just be nice to be able to get, you know, some interviews or some background clips of it in between fights or before the show starts. So yeah, that's my impression of it. I'm just interested to see.
Yeah, man, I'm thoroughly impressed with what they did in a short amount of time, because I think they talked about Fight Island about 2-3 months ago, and lo and behold, here we are in July, and it's up and running, ready to go. But Dana said today on Colin Cowherd that he wanted to, that Abu Dhabi contacted him, like, hey, man, you know, we can do this. You know, we can provide you this and this, and we can get it set up by this time. And lo and behold, they did it, bro. And it's actually a very, very, very nice setup that they got over there. I'm thoroughly impressed, man. This thing is going to be nice. I know that when we think of big-time fights, we think of Vegas and New York. I wouldn't be surprised if the Fight Island became the center point for everything outside of Vegas and New York. I think they'll probably fight in Vegas maybe twice a year, maybe two or three times a year, and probably New York four or five times a year in Vegas, four or five times a year in New York. I wouldn't be surprised if everything else was done in Abu Dhabi, because they have money over there and they support the UFC. And this facility, man, oh my God. I was thoroughly impressed. I thought it would be rushed and maybe, I wouldn't say half-ass, or maybe three-quarters-ass, but this thing is so nice, man. Good gracious. Salute to Dana White and the country of Abu Dhabi for getting this thing up and running in less than about 3 months, and I think the fighters are going to enjoy it over there, too.
Yeah, definitely salute to them, and you know, I actually hope what you're saying is right, that it becomes, you know, a center point for fights going forward, you know, even next year and the year after. Hopefully this, I mean, I know, like I was just, you know, I just touched on it, and I definitely don't want to get deep into it, but I just a very, very brief thing, very brief, is like I just said, is that how the, you know, the pandemic is still ongoing, even though states have been opening back up. It's still ongoing, and it's still necessary to have something like this for the fighters. And you know, I liked how what I read, you know, where they were saying, you know, everybody's, you know, getting on separate charter planes. You have, you know, everybody's real spaced out. Everyone's got their own individual hotel rooms, one person per, you know, hotel room. And there's really, you know, no interaction in between. I mean, and Masvidal did an interview, and he was saying how, you know, when he got down there, he was like, I'm not hanging out with anybody. You know, I'm quarantining in my room, you know, and they're going to, you know, keep on testing me, and I'm going to stay, you know, over here, you know, basically by my lonesome. And I like to hear that. I'm glad that they're going that way with it. And you know, it definitely proves a lot of the naysayers wrong. A lot of the people who, you know, aren't fans of Dana White, and you know, a lot of the naysayers who were saying, you know, the UFC isn't taking this seriously, and you know, they're not taking the proper steps, and I don't understand, like, all this stuff, and you know, all these people were outraged, and I think it really proves them wrong in a big way. You know, if Dana White and the UFC weren't taking this seriously, then you need to explain the entirety of Fight Island and all the testing that they're doing consistently to the fighters, and all the measures that are being taken. You need to explain that if you're going to say that UFC has not taken this seriously, because that is absolutely false. It's absolutely false. So I'm just glad. I love it. And I hope it is up there with Vegas and Madison Square Garden, you know, going forward. I know the rest of the year they'll be using it, at least the rest of the year, and probably even in 2021. Because, you know, it's still necessary to have. So I really hope it does. I'm glad it's here.
Yeah. I'm going to let us end on that note. And let's roll into the card, man.
Yeah, so I don't have the card in front of me right this second. Do you have the card pulled up? If not, I can just search it up real quick.
Yeah, I do.
All right, where you want to start? And by the way, do we have anybody in the queue? I don't have it in view right now, but.
Yeah, hold on. Hey, what's going on, man? Who is this?
Hey, guys, it's Evan.
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going?
It's going. You called just in time, man.
You on the car?
We're about to get into these fights, man.
Let's do it.
So,
where you want to start?
All right, we're gonna start with the main event of the prelims: Volkan Ozdemir against Jerry Prochazka, who happens to be the rising light heavyweight champion, I think, coming over and making his debut in the UFC. Who wants to go first?
Evan, you want to go?
Sure. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't actually know about his name, Yuri or Jiri. I apologize for butchering it. But I don't actually know him that much. But I'm going to look him up after this, after we're done here. And so, honestly, I'm just going to say I hope for a good fight.
Actually, they really don't have any stats on him. Basically, they have 6'4", 205-pound orthodox fighter. I guess they only keep stats for UFC stats. So, yeah, we don't have anything on Jiří Prochazka going into this fight against Volkan Ozdemir.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, I'll go. He's 26-3-1, so he's been around the block. Really don't know, you know, whether or not, I guess he fought C.B. Dalloway. Yeah, he fought C.B. Dalloway at King Mo. Actually, he beat King Mo for the belt, I guess it looked like. Muhammad Luwal, yeah, I think that's King Mo. So, UFC debut, going against one of the top light heavyweights in the UFC. I want to go with Ozdemir, but I'm gonna go with the unknown. I'm gonna take Jiří Prochazka and an upset over Volkan Ozdemir, and the spread is Ozdemir -155. And Jiří +135, so that's kind of close.
You rolling with Ozdemir?
No, I'm going with the upset. I'm going with Jiří Prochazka.
Yeah, I'm going the same way with you. I'm gonna go with. You said his name is Jiří. I don't even know the guy's name, but yeah, I'm gonna go with him too. I think he's actually gonna be unbelievable. And I've never seen footage of him fight, but I have a feeling about this one, and I feel like the UFC knew what they were doing when they you know, gave this guy a contract, and I think he's going to be unbelievable, and he's going to be big for the light heavyweight division, and I'm going to take him by second round TKO.
Wow, I'm going with decision. Evan, what you got, Evan? What you say, Evan?
I said I hope we have for a good fight, but I'm going to agree with you guys. I'm going to go with Jiří, and I think he's going to – I think a first or second round stoppage. I think we're going to see a big debut for this guy.
Yeah, that means he'll get knocked out in the first round. We all picked him, so it might be a trouble for
him.
Okay.
I think that's the first time, just to point out, that all three of us have made the same pick.
All right, so here we go with the biggest point spread on the card. Amanda Ribas taking on Paige VanZant. Ribas is a -1,000, and Paige VanZant is a +650. And this could possibly be Paige VanZant's last fight in the UFC, as she said that she's going to test free agency and see whether or not she can make more money outside of the UFC. So I'll let Key start with this one because he is a big Amanda Ribas fan. So, Keys, you're up.
All right. So, you know, my prediction for this one's pretty short. A lot of the times, there's this funny thing that happens, and it's all the fighters that I root for lose. I don't know what it is, but I have real bad luck with UFC. I mean, it's very seldom that, like, I'll make a prediction and be, like, either spot on right or just flat out I'm rooting for a guy and then he loses. So, you know, I'm gonna pick Paige VanZant for this fight. I think, I love Amanda Ribas, but like I said, if I root for her, she'll probably lose. So I'm just going to go ahead and, well, I will root for her, but if I predict her, she'll probably lose. So I'm going to root for her, but I'm going to say Paige VanZant is going to win by second round armbar submission.
Wow. All right, Evan, you out, buddy.
You know, I kind of feel the same way, in a sense. You know, I would like to see, I would actually like to see Paige VanZant win, just kind of stick it to the haters. You know, not for nothing. I just, you know, she gets a lot of crap with all the Instagram stuff and her husband. But honestly, that betting line, she's like a plus 650. If she wins, people are going to be pissed that they didn't bet on her because their emotions and their emotions against her as a person instead of her as a fighter. So I'm going to go with Paige VanZant, and I think we're going to see a finish in this one. I think I'm going to say second round as well.
Okay.
Are you going with like a specific type of finish, or you just think it's going to be any finish?
I think we're going to get TKO.
All right,
for Paige VanZant,
you're up.
Well, I'm going against
both of you guys this time.
I'm going with Amanda Ribas. I think she lives up to the hype. I think Paige will come out motivated, but motivation can only take you so far. And I think Ribas is just going to outclass her. And I say Ribas finishes the fight in third round, TKO, and she moves on to bigger and better things. And I say we see Paige VanZant probably over in one championship, or you might just see her become a full-time announcer for another organization. So I'm going with Ribas, man, third round TKO. Next up, we have my girl making her return, Rose Namajunas, looking to right the wrong against Jessica Andrade. Evan, will let you go first.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Lee's been waiting for this fight for like a solid year, people. He's been waiting for like a solid year, I think a little bit more. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And the odds for this fight is kind of close also. They got Rose as a minus 200 and Jessica Andrade as a plus 175. So, Evan, you're up. Who you got?
So, when they fought the first time, I had money on Andrade to win by knockout. And I actually won $200 off Andrade. But this time around, I think Thug Rose is going to come back, and I think Rose is going to get the knockout. Probably, I think first or second round. More so, probably the second. But the way she looked in that first round in their first fight, I think this is going to be a quick one, and I'm going to take Rose first or second knockout. First or second round knockout.
All right. I'm going to go next because Lee's got to be the main event of these predictions here. This is his girl, Rose. All right, so, I'm going – so another short prediction because I've been thinking about this one a lot. I'm going to go with Rose, too. I think Rose is going to be having a big performance here. There was actually somebody on Twitter the other day who I had to shut down. I had to shut them down real quick because they were trying to say – how Andrade was the favorite in the first fight, but then she's coming in as an underdog in the second fight, even though she already beat Rose. And then I said, sir, do you recall what happened after that fight? I'm gonna say, Exhibit A, Rose did not fight anybody. She sat out. Andrade fought Wiley Zhang. Did you see that fight? Did you see what happened? Were you asleep during that fight? Do you recall the events of it? Because I recall Andrade got absolutely devastated by Wiley Zhang. Got absolutely devastated. Okay, so that's why the betting line changed. So to make that comment is just uninformed. just uninformed because you left out the facts. And me as a journalist, you know, I got to always leave in the facts. So, yeah, I'm going with Rose. I think she's going to have a big showing here. She may even get a finish of the night bonus or a performance of the night bonus with this one. I think it's going to be – I'm going to go with second round TKO for Rose. This is going to be a goodie. Lee's going to be real happy. He's going to be smiling from cheek to cheek after this fight, I'm telling you.
All right. Yes, it's known that I have been waiting on this fight. I feel like an injustice was done in the first fight. I'm glad everyone wants some money off of that, so I don't feel half as bad. But I'm going with Rose. I think she comes out a little rusty to start. I think she's going to be a little rusty to start. But she turns it on in the second round and wins via submission in the second round. Thug Rose all the way. And after she beats Andrade, you heard it here first, Rose would dominate Wally Zhang to regain her belt. You heard it here first. Not scraped by her, not barely win. She would dominate Wally Zhang to win back her belt.
That's a huge claim right there. But I support you.
All right, y'all. Probably the least most popular fight on the card. Petra Young, Jose Aldo for the vacant bantamweight belt. The odds are Young -240, Aldo +200. Evan, we'll start with you this time. Who you got?
You know, everyone wants to give, a lot of credit to Bjorn. You know, kind of, he's had a fast track to the title. He looked good. Has he fought, a lot of promising contenders to kind of prove his, the hype that he's getting? I wouldn't say yes. I wouldn't say no. You know, an unretired Faber was a good performance. The Jimmy fight was an iffy one. Some of the ones. But, in all honesty, I'm going to go Aldo. I think Aldo is just going to be, way more experienced. I think his fight against Moraes, his just cardio was there. And both these guys are going to need cardio because they can go. I've seen Jan go. I'm going to go to Aldo. I'm just going to say decision to be safe.
Okay.
All
right, Keys.
This fight is probably the one to me that out of the three title fights is probably my hardest to pick, to be honest. And it's like by far my hardest to pick. The other two were much more easy or much easier for me to figure out. And this one, I really like that. I really like what Evan was saying about Aldo. I feel like Aldo, where I believe and where I almost know for a fact that this is going to be and it could potentially be five rounds of just a striking war, This could be five rounds of a striking war, and I believe it will be. I like what Evan was saying. I feel like people aren't – this is another fight where I feel like people are just going off of their emotions and not really looking at the logic. And what they're going off of is the fact that Aldo – because when you look at it on paper, they're looking at it like, okay, Aldo didn't even deserve this title shot, which he didn't. I agree. He didn't deserve it. I don't even know why he's in this fight. But it should be Aljamain Sterling. We all know it should be Aljamain Sterling, but I digress. But letting that say, he doesn't have a win in the bantamweight division, but Jan has been undefeated and looked good in the bantamweight division. Okay, cool. How old is Aldo?
Aldo is 33.
Wow, I was on point. I said 33 first. Man, Keys might know his stuff a little bit. Might have got to start listening to me. All right, so yeah, Aldo's 33, right? Now, just going off both of their last two fights, I think Aldo was really good versus Marlon Moraes. I think Aldo looked really good versus Marlon Moraes, and I thought he won that fight as well. Now, a lot of people disagree with me, but I do think he won that fight clearly. With the way his third round was, I think that was more than enough to take the fight. And regardless of the other two rounds, you know, when you finish like that, then you finish like that. But I think Aldo is a much more seasoned striker, and like Evan was saying, he has a lot more experience in the game. I don't think Jan has fought I know for a fact Jan has not fought the guys that Aldo has fought in his career, which could go good or bad for Aldo. It could go bad because you could say, wow, he's taken shots from so many of these great fighters, you know, so he's kind of worn down. And you could say Jan's kind of more fresh, where he hasn't fought all these killers, right? But at the same time, you could say, but Aldo has taken a lot from all of those fights. What he's taken away from it has been more. And Jan doesn't have, you can't say that. Just going off of both of their last two fights, the way Jan looked versus Uriah Faber, I really wasn't too impressed with Jan in that fight. And Uriah Faber's 40 years old. So the way that fight went and the way Jan fought in that fight, I feel like if he fights that way versus Aldo, he's going to lose. And he needs to look better than that. He needs to look better than that because that was not – that win to me was not a title shot-worthy win. You fought a guy who was 40 years old, completely washed up in Uriah Faber, and I think Lee will agree with this. I think Lee will agree with that notion. You fought a 40-year-old Uriah Faber who's completely washed up, and that was your performance. I really don't think that was an impressive win for Jan. I feel like it could have went either way. And I feel like this Faber look pretty damn good, to be honest with you. I don't think that was really a lopsided fight at all. I feel like Faber was in it until those last few moments he was in that fight. And with that being said, I want to go with Jan, but I'm going to go with Aldo. I like what Evan was saying. And like I said, this was the hardest title fight for me to pick. I was really on the fence about it, trying to figure out what to do. I feel like if you're a betting man, Jan is probably, and I understand that pick if you're going to go with Jan based on, you know, the statistics. But if you've been watching MMA for a while, I think Aldo is the smart pick. And if you know what he can do and you're not just basing off of your emotions, I think Aldo is the better pick. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Aldo. I think Aldo is going to win. It's going to be, man, I don't know if I could call a finish. I think it's going to be 5 rounds. I think Aldo is going to win a decision at the end of 5 rounds. That's my pick.
Well, after Keys waffled for about 3.5 minutes, I'm going to keep this short. Jan beats Aldo unless Aldo rediscovers his kick game. If Aldo can rediscover his kick game, Jan has no chance of winning this fight because Aldo's kick game is so vicious and it takes so much steam off of most strikers' punches that they are so worried about being kicked that they forget to throw punches. That being said, I think Aldo is in the twilight of his career. I think Jan is going into the prime of his career. I think Jan will show us some slick boxing. Slick boxing combinations mixed in with some power shots. I see Jan winning this fight by KO in the third round. I think that if Aldo if he finds his kick game, I would be mad because he's going to win the fight and he's going to blow my pick. But I would be happy for him because that was his bread and butter when he was on the top, his kick game. So I'm going with Jan to win third round, TKO. But I'm hoping that Aldo can find his kick game to make this a competitive fight. Moving on to the Cobain event. We got Max Bless Holloway going against Alex Volkanovski, I think that's his name. Yeah, Alex Volkanovski. The line is Volkanovski minus 220, Max Holloway plus 185. Keys, I'll let you start first on this one. Who do you got?
Yeah, so
and let's not make this 4 minutes.
Nah, it's not going to be 4 minutes, bro. So Holloway is one of my favorite fighters, but I think he's going to lose the rematch. I don't think that not to say the bust era is over, but I just don't think right now versus Volkanovski, I don't think he could win in the rematch. Especially, he made me very scared when he said he hasn't even seen his coaches sides over Zoom. And I think that is a coaching failure. I'm no expert, but that's a coaching failure. And when he loses this fight, he should get rid of these coaches, because for that decision, either that or he needs to sit out for a while and think about that, because that if that's the way you prepare for a championship rematch, I question how much you even care about your legacy. And as a fan of him, I feel insulted that you would even do that, that he would even do that. To coach over Zoom is complete bogus to me. That is complete bogus. He's going to lose this fight. Volkanovski is going to win. It's going to be a fourth round TKO.
Oh, snap. Woo! Max has never been finished, so, man, okay. Where you at, Evan?
This is my moment.
okay,
Volkanovski is going to finish Max Holloway. Just putting it out there, it is going to happen. I'm going to laugh at everyone that said it's impossible and yada, yada, yada. I will be waiting. I will be here. And it's going to happen. Max is getting finished. I'm going to say same thing as Keys. I'm going to say third or fourth round knockout. I think he's going to hit a leg kick, catch him off balance, and then clock him with a hook, and then just finish him on the ground. Ref stoppage, end still. Let's go, Team Volk.
Wow, very specific. Okay. I am with you guys, but I'm going to go another way. I kind of agree with what Key said about Max training. I don't think you can train for a fighter like Volkanovski via Zoom with no sparring and none of that. I just think that's a bad approach, and I think it'll show in the fight. I think Max, off of heart and grit, will make it to the fifth round, but Volkanovski wins by decision and he retains. And then we'll see Max at 155 the next time he fights. And hopefully my prediction will come true that his first fight at 155 will be an action-packed fight against Tony Ferguson, and hopefully we get that fight before the end of the year. I got Volkanovski winning by decision and pushing Max Holloway up to 155. Here we go. We got the main event. The champ, Kamaru Usman, defending against Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. The line reads Kamaru Usman minus 250. Jorge Masvidal plus 210. Evan, we'll start with you. Who do you got?
I'll make this one quick. You know, I don't believe Masvidal, you know, the whole, you know, the narrative is that he's taking it on 2 weeks' notice, but they've been planning for this fight forever. But then, you know, Masvidal, you know, not contract issues, just money. Regardless, I think it's going to be an equally fair fight. I think both of them in training. Usman obviously was switching it up, going to fight Burns. Now he's fighting a different style in a sense. But I still think Usman gets the job done. I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the most exciting fight. You know, I know a lot of people are hyped about this one because Masvidal's a striker, he's a gangster, and Usman looked good in his fight against Colby. But this, you know, Usman could grab a hold of him and do what he did to Woodley and just ragdoll him. But we'll see. I'm going to go Usman by either decision or a late stoppage after he gasses Masvidal.
All right. Keys, you're up, buddy.
Okay. So, Evan, what was your pick? You say Usman unanimous decision? What did you say?
Yep.
All right, cool. So, for this fight, this is another one that's relatively short. You know, I've thought about this enough today, and I agree with Evan, and I feel like Masvidal has been training for Usman since the start of 2020. I think he's been training for him, you know, since January, you know, knowing, because that was actually around the time when I first heard, you know, that they were targeting this fight for July. So I feel like, you know, January, February, he's been training for this fight that entire time. And regardless of how negotiations went, he didn't stop training. I mean, Poirier even said it too. Poirier was on video. He said, you know, he was in the gym training every day as if he had a fight the entire time. You know, they've been training together. And that's actually another thing that makes me real confident in Masvidal for this fight. Usman, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I feel like he's been blindsided by the change in opponent. You know, especially where, you know, Gilbert Burns and Masvidal are two very different fights to prepare for. Burns, you know, Burns clips Woodley, you know, in the first round of their fight, but I don't think Burns would have even been standing there like that if he were fighting Masvidal. Especially this Masvidal. We're not talking about years ago. We're talking about this one, which is a very different thing. And I think a lot of people making predictions for this aren't considering that. That Masvidal is in a very different place. You know, someone on Twitter said, oh, well, you know, look what Usman did to Woodley. Okay, cool. I've given him credit for that on numerous occasions. But if you're really being honest with ourselves, that isn't the same Woodley who was the welterweight champion of the world. That's not the same Woodley. And you know that because after that fight, he wasn't the same Woodley versus Burns either. So clearly, he's in a different place in his career. And I'm one of his biggest fans. I'm just saying, clearly, he has gotten into a declining state, and I'll still be you know, Team Woodley in his next fight. But we just got to be honest and point out that Woodley and Masvidal are coming completely different places in their career right now. Masvidal is probably at the peak, or if not approaching the peak of his career, and he's still young. So, you know, I think in this fight, Usman definitely has the potential to use his wrestling and dominate this fight to a unanimous decision, you know, or a TKO. There's definitely the potential for that to happen, but I'm going with Masvidal in this fight because I think that it's not the same guy. You know, you're not going to see the Usman that fought Covington because he's definitely not going to be confident like that to just stand and bang with Masvidal because he will be KO'd stiff if he fights like that versus Masvidal. And if you don't believe that, I think you're in denial of it. But that's the thing. The early striking exchanges, I don't think Usman will be able to handle the early striking exchanges because the fight, each round starts on the feet. So regardless, if Masvidal has been training, you know, really drilling takedown defense, I think he's really – that's a good look for him for this fight. If he can be sharp with the takedown defense and try to avoid the clinch and escape the clinch because Usman loves to clinch, if he can escape the clinch and his takedown defense is on point, I think he's got this fight in the bag. I don't think Usman can handle the early striking exchanges and the rounds. And I'm going with Masvidal by third round knockout.
All right. So you got Masvidal. Who did you have, Evan, again?
Usman.
All right. So I guess I got to break the tie. I'm worried for Masvidal. Number one, he took the fight on a week's notice. Number two, he said he had to lose 20 or more pounds by Friday's weigh-in. Plus, he had to travel to Abu Dhabi. I'm worried, and his coach isn't going to be there. So I'm kind of worried about his performance. But I'm going to go with the more technical fighter in this fight, and that is Kamaru Usman. Usman can do more things. Usman has more tools in his toolbox than I think Masvidal does. I think Usman can definitely wrestle him. I think Usman is a willing striker. He's willing to mix it up, but he knows when he's at a disadvantage in the striking game. And, man, taking a fight on a week's notice, I know everybody said that he's been training. I do believe that because Poirier said that he was one of his training partners. But the way Usman has looked against Woodley, and to me, he looked good against Colby Covington. A lot of people said Colby looked good, but I thought Usman kind of dominated him in that fight. I'm going to take Usman, man. I'm taking Usman. It goes 5 rounds. Usman in the decision. He retains the belt. And I think after the fight, he calls out Conor McGregor, which will be a big money fight for him. If Masvidal somehow happens to win, I think he gives Nate Diaz a shot at the belt as his first title defense, which I wouldn't be mad at. But at the same time, is Nate worthy of a title shot? No. But at the same time, is Aldo worthy of a title shot? No. So there's a lot of things that can happen after the fight. But during the fight, I think Usman first takes Masvidal with his wrestling. And Usman pressure kind of limits Masvidal's offense. And Usman smothers Masvidal for a decision win. And everybody will probably be complaining about the fight come Saturday night, early Sunday, saying that it was a snooze fest and Usman didn't want to strike with Jorge. Instead of everybody looking at the sport for what it's worth, Usman is going to do what he has to do to win the fight. So, the way we have it, I have Usman, Evan has Usman, and Keys has Masvidal. So, we have went over a little bit on time tonight, but be on the lookout for the people that follow me on Twitter. I have a fight breakdown that I basically just told you guys right now. I have a more in-depth fight breakdown article that will be coming out tonight via the Scrap News. So I'll be sending that. That should be coming out tonight. Any last word, Evan? Evan, I can't believe I let you have last words and you're not even a host on the show. But go ahead. You got any last words?
I gotta become the third host. Anyway, thank you guys for letting me on. Appreciate it. Can't wait for Saturday. Going to be some great fights. And, yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, man, I think we should do a $2. I think we should do a $2 Fight Kings, Keys. DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm game
me,
for
you
it.
And Evan.
Yeah, I'm game for it.
So, set it up, Keys.
If we go on and book it now, is it too early?
No, you can book it because the fights don't start till Saturday, so you can set it up.
Okay. Yes. We'll book that. Evan, you got DraftKings?
Yes, sir.
Oh, word. Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know you had it. So yeah, the three of us could do it. We could do a group. We could do a group one, and then if you guys want to do individual ones, Evan, me and you could face off, and Lee, me and you could face off, and I'll do a different lineup for each one, so it's not really the same thing going on.
Yeah, wherever you want to
do. We can do a three, man. That's fine.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Any last word, Keith?
No, just really looking forward to Fight Island. I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully, Dana White can give us some some shots, you know, of Flat Island, and, you know, maybe some backstage content, you know, from the making of Flat Island and things like that in between the fights or before the show starts. That'd be really cool. And, you know, I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to the event. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the show. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. If, you know, for everybody who listened, I appreciate you. For the new callers who, you know, might have called in, and if we missed it this time or if we've ever missed it, I apologize for that. You know, we'll definitely try to get better on the listener's queue. Sometimes we get locked in, you know, on the show, and sometimes we might miss a caller. You know, that's happened a couple of times in the past shows, and we're definitely gonna you know, work to address that, and because we want to have, you know, if there's new callers on the show, we want to have new listeners on as much as possible, especially, you know, people who like to talk fights like we like to talk. You know, it's always good to have you know, some new blood on the show. So definitely we're going to work towards that. And those who listen, you know, often, thank you for that. We appreciate it. And yeah, that's it. Everybody have a good night. And it's only Wednesday, but, you know, Thursday, have a good weekend. You know, it's early, but have a good weekend. Stay safe and enjoy the fights.
Yo, Wednesday night hump day show, you know, UFC 251 preview. We gave you our fight predictions. We talked about Masvidal contract discussions or renegotiation. We talked about Fight Island, what our thoughts were. The main thing is this weekend, if you're going out and watch the fights, practice social distancing. If you have to, wear a mask. You know, just be safe. I'll probably be watching it. I don't know where I'm going to be watching the fight at yet, but most likely I'll probably be watching it at my house in my safe home of a bowl. So, but that being said, everybody have fun, be safe, take care of each other, live, love, laugh, live your life every day to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them and have one good laugh every day. That being said, Lee and Key signing out, episode 148. And in closing, as always, peace.